welcome, everybody, and thanks for being with me this next hour. Maybe I should say this next 45 minutes. We've been having some tech issues, and I'm sorry about that. But you are listening to us live. This is Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks, Transcendental Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. 1 minute, 1 moment at a time. And this is June 10th, 2025. And I do have a guest today, which of course then sometimes just complicates our issues, right? We had a number of tech issues, but we, I think, are ready to go. And my guest is Mo Abdelbaki, Vedic astrologer and tarot master. And you know him from 1-2 Listen, 1-2 Academy, 1-2 Radio. He also does, you know, stuff on YouTube. So some of you may know him from YouTube as well, or maybe even listening that way. So I want to kind of circumvent some of what I had planned to talk today, because I'm just a little concerned that if we lose Mo, then, you know, we don't get the advantage of hearing what he had to say. So I'm going to give my remarks. I'm going to cut them back to very short remarks, and I will refer you to what I always do, Mark's Power Peak, which is that online newsletter that you can subscribe to for free. It comes out every Saturday night, and I love that Power Peak for multiple reasons. One, I write an article that is going to detail where's the moon, where are the planets, what are the planets doing. So it's all astrological information, but the Power Peak also has a number of other articles written by people from various disciplines, you know, and whether or not it's a point of view, whether or not it's a life lesson or it's something about numerology or tarot, there's wonderful articles in that every single time. So I would refer you to that. So even though our show is a little short and we're not going to get into everything that I would have liked to have covered today, you know what? It's there. We're never, you know, that whole idea of the fear of missing out, that's an illusion. You're going to hear exactly what you need to hear. You're going to be exactly where you need to be. And even though I know it's very difficult to believe that, think of it this way. There are those life lessons, and you can either get something from them or not. It doesn't have to be a perfect classroom in order for you to enjoy yourself and to get some really wonderful things. So we are going to do a deep dive into Jupiter in Cancer next week. I mean, that was always my plan. And because Jupiter just moved yesterday, it moved out of Gemini and into Cancer. And that's a big deal in the astrology world. So we'll do that deep dive next week and probably even the week after that, because I've got a number of things planned that we're going to talk about. But I was so excited to have Mo on the show today because, you know, he's just a master and an expert of mythology. He's also a Vedic astrologer. So his perception of Jupiter and of Cancer and Jupiter moving into Cancer is going to be very unique and, quite frankly, a little bit different than mine. So I really wanted to get his take on this. And by the way, this is Jupiter moving into Cancer in what we call the Western astrology system. And so Mo, even though he's going to talk about that, he practices Vedic astrology for the most part. So Mo, are you with me?
I am with you, and I hope I get to stay with you for a while. I'm sorry about that.
I do too. I do too, because I was so excited. I mean, I'm always excited to have you on the show, but especially when something like this is happening. Something big where we can just go into all the mythology and throw out lots of ideas. And so I thought, you know what? Let's talk about, you know, Jupiter corresponds to Zeus, right?
Right. Zeus, Jupiter. Yeah, right. That's it.
Yeah.
Big guy.
Oh, yeah. So, we're going to throw out a bunch of ideas today, and people, you can just grab onto them and roll them around. And like I said, in the weeks to come, we're going to keep talking about this. So take it away, Mo. What are your thoughts about Jupiter and Cancer in the Western system?
Well, it must have something to do with technical glitches, because it's been that kind of morning. Wow.
Yeah.
And just for no reason that I can figure out, just completely weird stuff. And I'm trying to figure out what that's about because.
Well, you know what, though, Mo? I would intervene here, and I don't like to blame the planets, but quite honestly, in the Western system, Mercury, which is the planet of communication, which right. is the planet that I often associate with any of this kind of stuff, you know,
right.
the digital, the computer, etc. It was square Saturn yesterday. It uh-huh. was square Neptune yesterday, last night. And mm-hmm. this morning, it's actually in conjunct Pluto. So instead of blaming Jupiter, I'm going to go straight to Mercury and say, Mercury, yeah, he's like this Wizard of Oz guy. He's just poking and pulling those cords and replugging them in different places, I think is what's going on.
Well, I'm looking, too, at the fact that Jupiter and Mercury are about 3 degrees apart, give or
mm-hmm.
take. It's about, mm-hmm. you know, real close. And so Jupiter has just suddenly burst onto the scene of Cancer, you know, and it's this huge energy. It's this massive, the king has arrived. The king
right.
has arrived. And so, and it's you know, the home of the moon. So suddenly, oh my gosh, it's going to be there for about a year.
Right.
And so let's hope that that house is ready. Let's hope that mm-hmm. and the Cancer, of course, used to be the highest point of the sun's appearance. It was the so-called Tropic of Cancer, which is still known as the Tropic of Cancer, was the place where the sun was at its zenith during mm-hmm. the year. So mm-hmm. that is the tropics, of course, are the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. And those were the places that defined the tropics. Which is, we like the tropics, I guess. Have I ever been to the tropics? I don't know. I guess I've been there. And those are the places. The tropics are the places where the sun shines overhead. They're the highest places, let's see, where the sun shines overhead on the summer solstice and the winter solstice. And that's where the tropics are. And so we have that, and they're the northernmost and the southernmost places where the sun shines directly overhead. And so those define the tropical weather places. And of course, they're no longer there. They're no longer there astronomically. They are now in Gemini and in Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. So because of the precession of the equinox, but those define our weather patterns. As such. So, mm-hmm. but once upon a time, they were in Cancer and they were in Capricorn. So they're pretty important places. And those are important houses because the moon rules that sign. So it used to be considered a very sacred house and a very personal house. And for us, they're very personal houses. Now in the West, it's defined as the house of father. Is that correct still?
You know, let's put it this way. It can be. Astrologers often take the fourth and the 10th houses, and the fourth is the Cancer house. And they say it can be father or mother. I mean, traditionally, mm-hmm. it was definitely mother. But more and more, yeah. I do hear astrologers put the father down in the fourth house and the mother in the 10th.
Right, because I'm always using
it. I think it can go both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's always mom, you know, and more mm-hmm. than that, it's the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mind and the psyche quite a bit. And so with Jupiter stepping in there, and Jiva, we say I did that. Jupiter is known as Jiva, which means life giver. So
yes, which is Cancer.
Right.
For sure.
Right. And quite a time, you see. Mm-hmm. That's one of the, and then Tarot, the chariot is Cancer.
Right.
And so what
yeah.
we have here is
good associations.
Right. Very, really fascinating kind of place, because one thing that that we notice about the chariot card, what people don't realize, and what Aleister Crowley made kind of obvious, I think, and he may mention it in his book, but I don't know that he did, is that the charioteer is a woman in the card. Not made obvious in other decks because they were, I don't know if they didn't know or they were hiding things, but the charioteer is also pregnant.
Mm.
And that was one of the things that was a big deal way back in the hidden parts of the of the esoteric aspect of Hermeticism. But one of the things that was a big deal as far as their knowledge goes was that it was the whole Holy Blood, Holy Grail thing. It was the whole, what was that movie? That Dan Brown movie with Tom Hanks. And
The Da Vinci Code?
The Da Vinci Code, yeah. The whole belief that Jesus had a child. That whole thing was around for hundreds of years. It was nothing new. That was all.
Right.
And so that was one of the big secrets of cancer, was that, well, first of all, it's a crab. And if you've ever seen a crab with its eggs, its roe on the outside, have you seen that?
No, I have not. Oh,
yeah, they call it crab melt back down in Louisiana. You know, they boil crabs and they have that stuff on the outside and they eat them. It's crab roe. And it's kind of fascinating, you know, it's the whole thing, the crab and the, you know, the look up in the Beehive Nebula. It's just fascinating stuff, the sky. If you get up, you should get out there and look at things in the sky, mm-hmm. You know, it's just fascinating stuff. The constellations, and it really looks more just like a kind of a parallelogram, but it's a fascinating, they're all fascinating when you get out there and look. So the idea is that the chariot it is that, and so the cancer is gravid, it's pregnant, and so Jupiter coming in to this place, it's about creation. Mm-hmm. Jiva, the life giver, coming in mm-hmm. to create anything you want. I mean, it's a kind of a big year, if you want it to be. It's what you want to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so here we go, coming in and disruption, and there's bound to be disruption. There's bound to be all sorts of controversy. There's bound to be the charioteer. Well, what do we think about when we think about chariots? We think about Ben-Hur. We think about, you know, your mind can go to all sorts of things. I like to do brainstorming when I think about these types of things. And I let my mind kind of run to whatever there is and where it goes. So I think Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston, the NRA, guns, militants, and whoa, what are we doing right now in LA, right? And I think, mm-hmm. oh, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. And you just let my mind go and run and think about where things are going, and is any of it connected? And I like to do that as an exercise with myself and see where, and it's inane, so I don't usually do it out loud, but here I am doing it out loud, you know. But it's something
that's
fun,
okay,
to do.
Throw those ideas out there.
Yeah.
You know, just
And sometimes it leads to some very fascinating things, like dispositorship of planets. I like to do that too, mm-hmm. you know. Like where things are in the sky. And sometimes it points you right to where everything is happening and who's ruling, really ruling the roost when we stop right. and get right down to it, you know?
Yes. Well, so, like for instance, we're going to have that full moon in 2 days on Wednesday. The full
right.
moon is going to be in Sagittarius, which is ruled by Jupiter.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. So all these things, you know, I mean, that's the fascination of it, is just tying all the pieces together, getting different ideas from it. But I mm-hmm. think that alone, it just makes in a week when Jupiter makes a big move, because it only moves once a year. And then to have the full moon 2 days later in a sign that Jupiter rules, it's like,
right.
wham, you know, big stuff.
Well, and the other part of that is that, you know, the moon has mansions that it lives in. It's a she in some cultures and a guy in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always fascinating to me too, you know.
Yes.
You kind of get a feel for the ideas of different cultures and how they view the lunar orb and the personalities behind that orb and the different aspects of it. The ancient Egyptians finding it to be Thoth, and the other side of that, of course, is the dark side of the moon, the side they knew they never saw, and that was Anubis. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always fascinated by these things. But yeah, so I think that when we think of the king, you know, Zeus or Jupiter going into the realm of the moon, And the moon was definitely feminine in Greek and Roman cultures, for the most part. We have this realm of this very feminine, very, and of course the moon was considered quite feminine because of the fact of well, the obvious fact of menses, you know, menstruation. Mm-hmm. The 28-day, 29-and-a-half-day cycle, very close. And none of this is coincidence, I believe. You know, it just doesn't seem that it could be. And it's so wonderful. It's just nature is so powerful in all of this, in how it works and how it is connected. It just seems mind-boggling that things work out this way. So we have this new creation happening, and in this cyclical sense, we will have many things to watch this year. I would watch lunations. I would watch cycles of the moon. I would watch your lunar birthday, and the lunar birthday is simply where the moon was on the day you were born.
So every single 29 and a half days, watch when the moon is exactly where it was when you were born.
Right. But also the exact where it was the day you were born. So, for example, I was born on the moon, full moon in Scorpio. And so on that day, which is your lunar birthday, you should make a big deal. Do something. Have some sort of little personal ritual. But also, I was born on the full moon, so it's easy for me. Every mm-hmm. full moon, I notice. Mm-hmm. I don't go out and get drunk or anything. I don't do that at all, actually. But certainly did when I was a much younger man. But there are things that, you know, I do when I see the moon in its full state. I greet it. I greet it. It greets me first. But I'm always, even though I know it's coming, it always surprises me. It's like, hey, Mo. And I say, oh, there you are. You know, it's a friend. I think we should greet the moon as a friend. Mm-hmm. That sounds maybe a little loony. That's good. I like that. Loony to some people. But the truth is that it's been there a long time, a lot longer than we have. And it was there first. And I think that there is an energy from that orb that is fantastic and wonderful. We should respect it, and we should treat it kind of like a friend, I think. That's just me. Mm-hmm. And you know I'm a little off, but that's okay. And I think that we should pay attention to the cycles of the moon. I do that. I pay attention to it. I don't really follow. I mean, I would go nuts if I did everything that I could do. But I do pay attention to some aspects of it very carefully. And one of them are these, like the full moon every month and my lunar birthday and those types of things, because they're cool. They're wonderful. They're personal. And so with Jupiter in there, we should pay attention to the house of the moon and respect it. I think Jupiter he can do one of two things, Jupiter, the planet. He can slop it up, you know, because Jupiter can be the slovenly, ridiculous,
excessive, indulgent.
Right. Yeah. Or Jupiter can be the opulent, wonderful ruler. So while he's in the halls, the magnificent, I envision every house as being the domain of the planet that rules it.
That rules it.
Right. And to me, the house of the moon, the palace of the moon, is absolutely magnificent. Do you see it that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, I never have thought about exactly what you said, like almost imagining that every house in the chart, you know, how would it be decorated? What would it look like according to the planet that designed it or is ruling there? I mean, you can see Saturn in some ways being very functional and very maybe sparse.
Yeah, very sparse. Yeah,
very sparse. And then you can see, you know, Pisces having a hot tub and a swimming pool. you know, everything water, you know, an incredible bar or a meditation room, that sort of thing. You know, I love that image. I'm gonna play with that myself. Yeah, that's a wonderful image.
Yeah, it's after a while they become very real places to you. At least they do to me. Taurus, for example, to me is a wonderful landscape. It's natural. Mm-hmm. There are fields and trees, and it's I can see it. I can feel it. You know, it's dynamic. Aries is very much the same, but much it's more like something you'd see in the Scottish Highlands to me.
Right. I was thinking Camelot. Right. The knights and plenty of room to run around on horses.
That's right. You know, so you get these feelings, but for me, Gemini, interestingly enough, is quite urban and you know, and not that there are a lot of people there, because there aren't. It's more structural and extremely precise. You know, but to me, Cancer is vitally beautiful with majestic halls and marble, and it's beautiful and pristine because the moon is very precise.
Yes.
And the moon is, I mean, it's where we get the word month, you know, and it's quite beautiful. And I love moonlit nights. And so it is always moonlit to me. And there are places that are very dark, but I get this mind's image. And so when Jupiter comes in, there is almost a bit of annoyance there, you know, in Cancer.
Because he's disruptive?
That's right. Because the king has arrived.
You know?
It was nice and quiet and peaceful, and remembering that Cancer is this lovely, supremely feminine energy. And that's not saying that, of course, my dad was a Cancer, and he was a very caring, empathetic, he was a teacher, he was a professor, and he was incredibly good at it, you know. He was the type who, if there was a student who didn't look like he was going to make it, he would take that student, bring the student home, and tutor that student, and take time with that student, and make sure that one of Southern Louisiana's best veterinarians really, in my opinion, well, in his opinion too, owes his career to my dad, because he was going to flunk out, and my dad made sure that he survived the you know, the vet school. And he did that over and over. And that is pure Cancerian energy to me.
Yeah. Because like you said, Cancer is the energy of life-giving, but it's also the energy of the nurturer. You know, it's the teacher, the mother, the one who shapes the young child, the young student, whatever, into being independent, growing into what they're supposed to grow into.
The birther, yes.
Yes. So, you know, they don't just abandon those eggs. That Cancer energy is there to guide and to protect and to, you know, to, I guess, you know, redirect when necessary.
That's right. When I was in my freak days, and they were freaky, you know, I looked really weird. I was very weird. He was calm. He was never, my mother was not calm. She was a Virgo, and a Virgo, you know what I mean? Just very, very Virgo. And I, you know, I loved her. She loved me, but we were very, I was a Taurus. So two earth signs, stubborn as could be, going at it, and, you know, not willing to give an inch. And my dad was Cancer. And he was watery, and he just kind of put up with it and said, he kind of helped me to find myself by letting me be who I was. He was very compassionate. He knew that I was pretty confused about the world and life and all of that. And it was a wonderful experience. I think that he was able to really you know, he nurtured. Yes, that's the right word. He nurtured. So they do a magnificent job. Can. And then I've known some cancers who had other ways of molding things, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you had mentioned what's going on in LA. And to me, that really is, I mean, that's Saturn and Aries and some of the Aries energy that we have. But it really is a wake-up call for Cancer as well. Because I see, you know, every single sign has its strengths. Then it has its weaknesses or its shadow side. And the wonderful thing I think about Cancer is its sensitivity, its caretaking, its nurturing, that mother energy and the energy of the life giver. You know, that deep sense of creating and maintaining and protecting what it gives life to. Creating, literally, creating family, creating tribe, creating groups and connections. Right. But the flip side of that is this very strong need to differentiate, you know, me from you. You know, right. And do you belong or do you not belong? And so when you don't belong, you are out. So there is this strong sense, I think, with Cancer of inclusion and exclusion.
Right.
And I think, you know, I mean, that just, I mean, as we really look at that, why do we always have to see the world in terms of me and other? You know, us or them? And I mean, I think truthfully, the human race is driven by that kind of psychology. It's me or you, me or other.
And tribalism, I think, sure.
Yes. And so it's like, why can't we stop and ask ourselves why? And of course, the answer is, of course, we can ask ourselves why. Why do we need to differentiate? Why do we need to separate? Why do there always have to be sides? You know, and I think the more that we're willing to at least ask the question and to sit with that energy, the better the whole Jupiter in Cancer transit is going to be. Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've had some really difficult, you know, last few years with family. And partially it's an aging thing. And my parents are aging. And there's definitely some issues there where with cognitive stuff, it's almost like, you know, my mother is not my mother anymore. Yeah. You know, that's not what it feels like. And so there's a part of me always with Cancer energy that I'm just like, oh, that whole idea of family, mom, you know, whatever. And I realize, but the minute it brings up negative energy, I can just stop and I can say, you know, what is that about? This is an opportunity to heal that. It's an opportunity to redefine what family means, because that's the other thing. Some people, you know, the minute you start talking family or you start talking parents or siblings, they're like, oh, I don't even want to talk about this. You know, I don't, my family has been such a source of problems. And I would also say, you know what? Those are our life lessons. They absolutely are. But if that brings up, instead of family bringing up all these warm, fuzzy feelings, Ozzie and Harriet, which for most people they don't, then you know what? Jupiter in Cancer is an opportunity to redefine that.
Right.
You know, absolutely to redefine that and to recapture, in a sense, what does it mean to be a life giver and to have sensitivity? And it's, and you mentioned the crab, and I think that alone just has so many wonderful kind of analogies, because here's this crab, very, very hard on the outside most of the time. I mean, I know they're soft shell crabs, but you know, they've got this tough little shell, but they're just vulnerable and soft in the center.
And well, and maybe that's a key.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, and so go ahead, Mo.
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, crabs have a reputation as being crabby, you know, and then the truth is that I think that many, many nurturers, when they feel betrayed, can be horrid people, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and that sense of betrayal can be the cause of a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Now, my dad, when he was betrayed, would say, that's okay. And he would just turn his head.
Really?
Now, he really, really just, I mean,
he just say, so what?
So what? You know, there, I mean, he just, and I unfortunately kind of inherited that from him, you know. I'm more Torian in the way that I just forgive and never forget, you know. I do forgive, but I never forget. But my dad literally would just say, so what? So what? He would just, you know, he never held a grudge. He just let things go by. And he was the victim of a lot of political stuff in departments and that sort of thing. And he didn't care. He just minded his own business and did his thing and did his, I mean, it really served him very well, which I never could quite understand. I really was like, God, I'd be really upset. And he'd say, that's you. That's not me. But that's not the way a lot of people are. They really, when you betray, it was different when, well, actually it wasn't. I mean, he just kind of said, get over it. But you've probably known cancers who, when someone, you know, makes them mad or betrays them or does something like that, they really turn into aliens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the isolation, the separation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
And so absolutely. We humans by nature are tribal, and we mistrust and sometimes despise anyone of the other tribe. And I, you know, it's just the way it is. And it's been that way for a long, long time. And the problem with that is the world is now so small that there are no longer any separations between us. There are no divisions in the world anymore because of the internet, because we are all literally a millisecond, a nanosecond away.
Right.
So we can no longer accept that way of thinking. We have to realize that we are all one. So what I would hope is that with the expansion of Jupiter coming in, that we would all recognize that what we have to do, because really the imperative of Cancer is love, I think. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the great Earth Mother, I would hope, or the great Lunar Mother, or some sort of mother, or something. The charioteer in Tarot is armored.
Mm-hmm. Very much like the crab.
Yeah, like the crab, exactly. And that is for protection. Now, in the Crowley deck, it is as a disguise, completely, to say, okay, this is the big secret, because it is female, and she, that grail that you're familiar with the card, and I would urge everyone, you know, get on your computers and take a look at Aleister Crowley's chariot card.
Chariot. And for that matter, look at a lot of chariots in many, many decks.
Yeah.
And see how people are portraying that energy.
Yeah. And his, there is a huge grail in the lap of the charioteer. And that grail has, it's a big amethyst grail. And then there's a sapphire, a blue sapphire kind of secondary grail within there. And in the right in the middle of that, there is a ruby grail. It's a drop of blood. And he tells you it's the drop of the blood of Christ. But what he is implying is that the charioteer is, because here there are 10 diamonds on the chest of the charioteer, that is the 10 diamonds of Malkuth, and which says the charioteer is female, and that the blood of the drop of Christ is in fact meaning that she is pregnant with the child of Christ. So in other words, it's the Magdalene, you see, who supposedly docked on a ship in Marseille, and the rest is history or something. Certainly was a good novel and made Dan Brown a very wealthy man. So, but it wasn't new. It's been around for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. And so, and that was kind of a big secret that was passed on through the Rosicrucians and through the Golden Dawn. And you were let in on this big secret. And it's like, you know, if it had been me and they said, that is the big secret, I would have gone, really? You know, really? That's it? That's the big secret? Oh, come on. Come on. You know, I would have been so disappointed. I would have been, oh, God, come on. That's it? Oh, you know, it would have been me. But anyway, so I think that really what this time can be is magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, look what the last year has brought us with Jupiter and Gemini. Now, in Vedic, Jupiter is still in Gemini. I can sure feel that. My mind is just never, ever stopping. It's like, oh, for goodness sake, you know. I'm drawing like crazy, and rules and regulations of this game I'm working on. And, you know, it's like, ah, but you know, with Jupiter in Cancer, look at the world.
Yes.
Maybe things can smooth out a little bit, you know. Maybe the stupidity that I'm, excuse me for that, but it just, you know, I'm so nauseated by the childishness and ignorance that seems to be ruling right now. But people are ruling with their emotions, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Watching the richest man on the planet and the ruler of the most powerful country in the world spat in public like, you know, have you seen those couples in public who argue in front of their children? Have you seen those people? It's embarrassing, always horribly embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're just talking about in general. Yeah.
Yeah, in general. Yeah. And you watch that and you think about their poor kids who are standing there or, you know, and you think, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, and for that to happen to us last week, the nation, right, and the rest of the world is watching. And it's like that's kind of indicative of the type of thing that we don't want to ever see again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jupiter in Cancer will mellow that stuff out. You know? I don't know. I don't know.
Yes. Well, and I think it'll heat things up. And
it's
the reason
I
think it's gonna heat things up is because, like I said, when I think about Cancer, I think of the word patriotism. And I think that has been such a misaligned and misused word. You know,
patriotism
come to mean whatever I believe is right and whatever you believe is wrong. I mean, it has nothing to do to me with really defending your tribe, your group, your country. I mean, it's just a word that gets thrown around somehow in defense of I will do whatever I want, you know? And so
I think of Jupiter as rulers, yeah. Game.
Yeah, and so sure. Jupiter in Cancer is going to create some excess and indulgences. But once again, it's so we can look at it. You know, I am really a firm believer. You can't change what you can't see.
There you go.
You know, if you don't ever, you know, you can go la, 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 and do all your affirmations. You know, but I can tell you as a gardener, if you don't pull those weeds out, they're, you know, they're going to interfere with your process. I mean, and that's
right.
The basic issue. If you don't look at it, if you don't pull the weeds out, they are going to grow. And it doesn't matter how much fertilizer you put on your plants, you know, or how much care you give your plants. If you don't pull the weeds out, they will thrive just like the plants do. So I think this is an opportunity to look and to really look at some things. And like I said, to just, you know, be the person in the chariot, to take the reins and say, I'm going to drive the bus. I'm going to go where I want to go. And one of those things is I'm not going to just be driven by other people's opinions or by what other people say or do. I'm going to look at this and I'm going to redefine it for myself.
Or you become like Phaeton, who drove the chariot of Apollo, and you're doomed. There's one to read.
Okay.
One. Yeah.
And can you spell that for me?
Phaeton. Yeah.
Phaeton. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one to read because it talks about you think you can drive this? Well, maybe not.
Yeah, you're gonna need some practice.
Yeah, well, you just can't. There's some things that, And that's the whole key, is that we often think we can do something that we can't. And there are times when we need to know our boundaries. We need to know our abilities. And even though we think we can do something, there are times when we absolutely cannot. And that's something too.
You know? To know what your strengths and weaknesses are.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, believe it or not, we're towards the end of the show right now. We just have a couple of minutes. And thank you so much for persevering through the beginning of the show. I'm saying that to the people listening and also to Mo and to Serena, you know, because the tech issues are never something that we want to deal with, but we do. And we persevered. And so we got the chariot to go where we wanted it to go. So everybody, thank you for persevering. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening to this in the archives of 12radio.com if you're doing that. Thanks to our producer, Serena. And of course, thank you so, so much to Mo Abdelbaki. So Mo, do you have any announcements before we go?
Oh, no, not really. I'm just floating along with the breeze. So.
All right. Well, don't let that chariot run over you.
Oh, no. I get out of the way. I learned my lesson with the hermit card in a meditation once. He'll walk right over you. So that chariot. So
okay.
No, the chariot's a great card. It really is. There's something to meditate on this year. The chariot card and the priestess card, because the priestess card is ruled by the moon. So those two cards, the priestess and the chariot, both very spiritual cards. So enhance your spirituality. I'll say
yes, that. Great idea. Thank you for those suggestions. And you know what? Maybe in the months to come, we'll explore this a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, get into some more of those details. So thank you very much for being here this morning, Mo.
You bet. My pleasure.
All right, everybody. And I hope you will stay tuned, because up next on 12 Radio is Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. And I am joining her this week. It's our monthly meeting of the minds. So please join us. Just hang on for a few minutes and we'll be back with that. But before I leave you, I will leave you with a couple of quotes from Benjamin Franklin, who was born with Jupiter in Cancer. One of his quotes is, "Be civil to all, sociable to many, familiar with few, friend to one, and enemy to none." He also said, "Speak ill of no man, but speak all the good you know of everybody." And I think that's good advice for all of us right now. This is CA signing out. You can find me on 12listen.com. And by the way, we got a big week coming up in terms of sales, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So please join us. We've got that full moon. We've got 12-day on Thursday. We have our usual sales on Friday. So, lots of opportunity to check in with the advisor of your choice. And I will be there as much as possible. So, you know, and you can always schedule a call with me. So don't be afraid to just reach out and say, "Hey, I want to talk to you on such and such." But you should be able to find me pretty readily available on Thursday, on 12 day. Okay, everybody, you've been listening to Everyday Astrology with my guest, Mo Abdelbaki on 12 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about and listen to Jupiter.